Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Yet another night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Two games tonight. Dallas at Minnesota. Edmonton at Anaheim. Oh, some fantastic games coming on tap tonight. And to help us discuss that and more, let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our friend, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider extraordinaire, who is presented by Old National Bank and Green Ventures Landscaping. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, gentlemen?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us as you do every week. And also, we appreciate the fact that you do your homework for us before you come on the show with us every week. And you said earlier this week on the 32 Thoughts podcast that there appears to be a potential curveball in the Predators GM search, as in somebody who's suddenly under consideration for the job. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, what I would say is that, Adam, I remember last week you asked me if I thought they were taking too long or it was a problem that this was going long. And my answer is the same as it was then. I really don't care. You go and you get the right person as long as it takes. These are too important. But I was thinking more about it after I was on with you. And I kind of looked back at some of my notes, and it charted the the history of the search. They go through several introductory Zoom meetings. They bring about four or five people into Nashville. They interview one or two internal candidates, and then they're like, "No, we want to talk to more people." And normally, once you do that, you're kind of picking someone, right? And it was we want to talk to more people. And last week they had Tom Fitzgerald in there, the former GM of the New Jersey Devils, your first captain. And remind me to say something else about Fitzgerald in a minute, because I got an interesting DM from a Nashville fan. But I said, okay, well, maybe this is the last one. Maybe this is the one that knocks it out of the park and it's over. And it's been about a week now since Fitzgerald was there, and it's still going on. And, what that says to me, Adam, is that either they haven't found the right person yet, or they're still waiting to talk to somebody. So when I say that there's a potential call, they just haven't found their right person yet, or they're still waiting to talk to someone. So I'm trying to figure out who could this person be. And I don't have an answer. I have some theories that maybe it's somebody who's still working with one of the teams that's still playing, but I don't have a specific answer.
So tell us about that DM you received about Tom Fitzgerald.
Yeah, so whenever I come on your show, like the thing you guys have down there that I really like is you guys have some real hardcore, true Predators fans. And whenever I come on, there's a few of them that will send the follow-up questions, and they'll say, well, you got asked this, and you said this, but you didn't say this. And sometimes, you respond. And somebody said to me, and I think you've mentioned it to me before, Adam, about this idea that Tom Fitzgerald is like old-school Predators. And if they want new, which I do believe the Predators want, I think they want something new, how on earth does Tom Fitzgerald fit? I was like, the guy's been out of the organization for 25 years. He's got a lot of respect for Barry Trotz and vice versa, obviously, because he was Trotz's captain. But it was just interesting. Like this person said to me, like, I don't understand why they go after Fitzgerald. It's just the same old, same old. And I said, he hasn't been there in a long time.
It's like almost a quarter of a century.
Oh, okay. He was like, that makes sense. So it was just funny. Like, if there's other Predators fans who feel that way, it surprises me because, as Willie just said, it's been 25 years since he was there. He's worked for other organizations, and he has other ideas as well. But that's why I'm sitting here wondering, Adam, because like I said, normally these searches go, you interview people, you make your list of finalists or your small list, you bring them in, and one of those people gets picked. They bring them in, and somebody gets picked. And that hasn't happened. As a matter of fact, it's kind of slowed down. So a little bit unusual, and it makes my reporter nature paranoid that I'm really missing something here.
I know what that feels like, Ellie. And you're right. When we talked last week, I did ask you if the Predators GM search is the most methodical of the GM searches going on, which might have been a nice way of saying slowest. And I hear what you're saying about, hey, they're gonna take as much time as they need to figure this out. I am wondering, however, at what point is it fair to start wondering if it's taking too long?
No, I don't think so, because I've heard, and I haven't heard it directly from him, because I think Bill Haslam has blocked my phone number, but I have heard that he has said that we have time. And so it says to me that, you know, even people have been asking me, like, the draft lottery is on Tuesday night, and people have been asking me, do you think the draft lottery is a deadline for some of these teams? I don't think it is. I don't think that matters. The scouting combine, which is at the end of May, I think that might be more. Like, if you don't have somebody in charge by then, when you're watching the actual workouts or you're doing interviews, I would be concerned. Now, I don't know that the Predators are going to take that long, but I've heard that Bill Haslam has said, we have time. So he doesn't. If he's not panicked about it, I'm not panicked about it.
Elliot, earlier this week, the Predators landed KHL forward Vitali Pinchuk, and free agent forwards from the KHL are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Everybody hopes it's Artemi Panarin. Sometimes you get Andre Kuzmenko. But what can you tell us about Pinchuk and the Predators' recruitment of him?
Well, Pinchuk was a guy who played in North America when he was, I think, 20 years old. And so there's some people I know who saw him back then. They were familiar with him. They watched him as a younger player. And, you know, at that point in time, they just said he wasn't ready. Like, there were some raw skills there, but he wasn't ready. So he goes back over, and you know what? I always say this about people, like, some people are ready when they're 19, 20 years old, and some people aren't. In a lot of different ways of life, some people just mature later. And I can tell you that about a year ago was the first time somebody called me and said, I know you like to write notes and you like to be on top of things. Well, here's a name for you, because next year there's going to be a lot of people chasing after this player. And they told me about him, and it was definitely true. Like, the one thing, and it is a little bit of a lottery ticket, Adam. I think it's right the way you explain it. But there were a lot of people who wanted to buy this lottery ticket. And the one thing I heard, like I said to somebody, how on earth could Nashville get this guy? They don't even have a GM right now. And what I heard was, like, right from the beginning, the Predators and whoever was assigned to deal with him on the Predators, they were on him. Like, from beginning to end, they were persistent. They said, we like this player. We have room for this player. There will be a spot for this player. And I think there were other teams that made runs, but from beginning to end, I heard that Nashville was the most consistent. And I heard that that really resonated with the player. He was like, you know what? These for a little over a year, they've been a constant. They've been paying attention. They've been interested. I heard that really resonate with him, and their pitch to him, whatever they did, it was good. Like, what it says to me, Adam, is that he's going to have an atrocious camp next year not to be on the roster. Like, this is a guy who they think that is coming in to play. And it's interesting, because I've had some people question whether he's a center or a winger or what he can play. But the fact is that there were enough teams here that were like, we give this guy a shot. We think there's a player here. But I heard LA came on really strong over the last little while made a big push. That was the team I heard. But from beginning to end, I was told nobody showed more interest and was more committed to the player than Nashville was.
Well, if he can play center, he will get every opportunity to play center for the Predators for sure. But I have this follow-up question. By the way, for those that don't know, Pinchuk was the third leading goal scorer in the KHL. He had 66 points in 65 games. So he really came on. He was one of the better players in that league. But, Elliot, what are the contractual things that you can offer a player out of the KHL? Was he open to anybody at any price? Did he have to sign an entry level like a college player? How did that work? Because did it come more to recruiting?
So basically, he's under the entry level system. So it all goes by age. Like, Willie, he could sign with anybody. Once you're beyond 20, you can't be drafted. You're a free agent. But you have to sign, but until you're, I think it's 25, don't, if I'm off on that one, don't get mad at me. He's 23, but I think it's 25. If you're under 25, you have to sign an entry-level contract. Now, because he's 23, he only signs for 1 year. Like, there's a certain age, like for most ages, your entry-level deal is 3 years. Then you get to a certain age where you can only sign for 2 years. Then eventually you get to a certain age where you can only sign for 1 year. Pinchuk could only sign for 1 year, but it is under the entry-level system. So you can't...
So it wasn't a bidding war, per se. It was more of a recruiting, right?
It was more of a recruiting war, although, and I'm not accusing anyone of anything improper. I want to say that right here, right now, Willie. It was more recruiting than anything else. Clearly the Predators told him he was going to play for them because they wouldn't have gotten him if they didn't. But whenever somebody signs a one-year deal, there's usually talk about what a second deal could look like, although you're not allowed to commit to it. Now, NHL has investigated teams in the past. We're going too far on that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Elliot, we were discussing Brady Tkachuk before you came on, and I understand that, you know, he sees it as a distraction, and he said he's committed to the Senators. But we know players say one thing, and he said it didn't come out of his mouth, but that could also mean that somebody else said it for him. But we know players, and things can change at a drop of a dime. Where do you see this going, and what would it take under this scenario to get a Brady Tkachuk?
Well, I think the key thing here, Derek, is that it's not only what Brady says, it's what the organization says. Mm-hmm. And the Senators are extremely sensitive to any talk about Tkachuk getting traded. Like, they really get their backs up over it. And their GM, Steve Staios, had a media conference on Monday before Brady spoke, and he said, like, and he gets mad about it. So what it says clearly to me is that Ottawa is not doing this unless they're being given some reason that they have to do it, unless they're absolutely backed into a corner and told, you have to do it. So I think right now, so until they're told that either he wants a trade or he's not going to sign an extension there, which he clearly is saying he hasn't done, this is not happening. If that changes, then we'll see. But right now, I just don't see it happening unless somebody gives me information to say that circumstances have changed. But Derek, It would be expensive, both in terms of the extension that would be required and the pieces that you would have to give up.
Now, I got a quick draft question for you, because you prompted it when you mentioned the draft and when they're going to have to, you know, who picks where.
Yep.
We talked about it in the NFL. You can only go by, if you get outside the top five or top six, you're not getting an elite player or an impact player. You may get a good player, but not an impact player. Where is it in this year's draft in hockey?
Where
the top, I mean, not the Titans, but the Predators, they're 10 now. Where is it? Where is that line of demarcation where they can get an immediate, you know, impact player or a guy that's going to have to spend some years developing?
So, Derek, I'm going to ask, like, I know there's about three or four or five guys at the top. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do, Derek. I am going to ask our draft guys, and I'm going to text it to Adam and Willie, because you don't trust me with your phone number, which I completely understand. I have Adam.
You
and
can
Willie's
have it,
number.
Elliot.
No, it's okay. I have Adam and Willie's number, but like, I'll tell you this: at the beginning of the year, it was three. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was three. However, there's been some changes. So there's a player from Vancouver who played this year at Penn State, Gavin McKenna. He is a winger. There's a lot of people who really love him. There's a Swedish kid named Stenberg. There's a lot of who's a forward. I think he's a winger too. A lot of people really love him. At the beginning of the year, there was a defenseman from Canada. His last name is Verhoff. He's had some battles this year. So, and there have been some other kids that have jumped up. So what I'm going to do, Derek, is I'm going to ask our two draft guys, I'm going to say, okay, where's the elite cutoff in the draft and where's the drop in the draft? And I'll find out for you. But there's some good player. Usually it's like one and then it drops, or two and then it drops. I think it might be a little larger this year, but I'll find out for you for sure.
Cool.
Elliot Friedman's with us, Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, the podcast, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, Toronto has made some decisions here with their GM. Do you think there was any crossover of the guys that Toronto's bringing? I would guess Sundin was a unique situation there. But Chyka and those guys, do you think they were on the Predators' radar at all?
I think Chyka did not get an in-person with you, but I think he did do one of like the Zoom introductory interviews with you. Ryan Martin from the Rangers was a finalist in Toronto, and I think he had I know he had an in-person interview with you guys. So that was the carry. That one was tied in. Scott White is still kind of around Toronto. I think he's still technically active. He's a finalist. And I don't know if he ever had an in-person with you, but you guys definitely spoke to him a couple of times. Those are the ones that are kind of the carryovers, yes.
When the first round ends and there's a handful of other teams that are finished playing, does that open up new candidates? How does that work?
Well, I'll say this. First of all, does any team is so upset about what happened in the first round that they make a change? That's one question you always ask. It's possible that maybe there's someone you didn't ask to speak to beforehand and you want to speak to them now, but I'm not sure anyone would allow that during the playoffs. Those would be the two circumstances that look, you guys have already asked for permission to speak to one GM this year at least, and it got rejected. That was Eric Tulsky of Carolina. So, I mean, who knows? Clearly, you guys have not found the person you want, and you're waiting to speak to some people or going through the process of speaking to some more people.
All right, there's too many exciting series to ask you about all of them. But with the backyard of Minnesota and Dallas in the Predators division, yeah. Huge game tonight. It's been an unbelievable, intense series. What are you seeing for the rest of that one? Do you think Minnesota can close it out tonight?
I do. I think Dallas is having a nightmare of a time scoring. They haven't scored at 5-on-5 in 210 minutes. You cannot win playoff series like that. You just can't. But the thing is it's been 10 years since Minnesota closed out a series, right? You got to prove you can do it. There's that old cliche, the fourth game is the hardest to win. We'll see. But Dallas can't win, can't score at even strength. You're not going to win like that. And also, I don't think their third and fourth lines have scored all playoffs in this series. Like, all their goals have come from their top guys, right? That's another way you're not going to win. Like, Montreal's up 3-2 in their series, and their top line doesn't have a goal at even strength. Like, you can't. It's not preferable, but you can win that way if other people are scoring. If your top guys are scoring and nobody else is, and they've only got like three or four goals, you're not going to win. Somebody else has to be a hero for them. Somebody who is not one of their star players As a matter of fact, you know, a guy you guys know well, Michael Bunting, he hasn't played for Dallas yet, and I think he's going to play tonight. Like, that's the kind of guy I'd be going to, is, you know, he can be a little bit undisciplined. He's got to be smart, but he brings energy, and he competes, and he cares. And I just think they need that tonight because they're just not getting it from enough people.
Elliot, before we let you go, I want to ask you about the other game going on tonight. Edmonton at Anaheim. Edmonton avoided elimination the other night. Anaheim trying to eliminate Edmonton at home tonight. I have to imagine that this would be the nightmare scenario for the Oilers and their fans if, after Connor McDavid signed short term, the Oilers are eliminated in the first round by the Anaheim Ducks. What do you think happens if the Oilers do not come out of this series?
Well, I don't think, like, McDavid's going to ask for a trade.
Right, of course.
Like, I don't think that's happening. But, and, you know, they are really beaten up. So are the Ducks a bit, but they are really beaten up. But I do think this has been a challenging year for a lot of different reasons. And I could see them asking a lot of questions internally about, okay, how did we make some of the decisions we make this year? Did we like our process? Did we like that? And that I definitely think, you know, it's been tough. You know, they traded for Ingram. He's been their starting goalie. He's played very well for them. But they traded for Jarry, and, you know, he played very well for them in game number four, but they took him right back out again. And so I could see that being as much the conversation as anything else. How do we feel about all of this and some of the choices we made? And then how do we either adjust that process or make ourselves better in the off season? I don't think McDavid, if you're asking me if I think McDavid's going to ask out,
no,
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, of course not. But I do wonder if it makes him go, I'm glad I signed that short-term contract if the Oilers can't get out of the first round. Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He is presented each week by Old National Bank and Green Ventures Landscaping. Elliot, as always, a pleasure. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
Bill Haslam and Derek Mason, two guys who will never give me their phone.
Well, Elliot, Derek wants to know
exactly
your thoughts on Diego Pavia potentially becoming a member of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Absolutely. So I'm going to pass my number along to you through Adam or Willie, and then you can give me an answer.
You guys can talk CFL.
Exactly.
I will find out from our CFL guys what the likelihood is.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Boy, if Diego gets
Thank
to Winnipeg,
you,
he's going to take over the town. He's going to add some heat to that town for sure.
I can't even, having been to Winnipeg, I can't imagine Diego Pavia in Winnipeg. I just, it's the same thing as Mike Vrabel listening to Papa Roach. I can't see Diego Pavia in Winnipeg. I don't think it's his sort of town, but maybe he'll be a member of the Blue Bombers soon enough. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot had to say. We wrap up the show next ahead of Vanderbilt baseball. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.